Welcome to Country Not Country, a Radio.com podcast. Here are your hosts, Aaron Austin and Nick Russo.
Episode 30, Aaron, welcome back.
Yes, it's the Dirty 30. Woohoo!
I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, man, 30 episodes seems like a long time. That's 30 hours that we've at least or close to.
It's been a long time since I felt Dirty 30.
Yeah? How long has it been, Aaron?
We're not going to go there.
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal exactly how old I am.
One of these days, we'll have an age reveal.
let's hope not.
Like a gender reveal.
I would like to believe that somebody will still like to hire me, no matter how old I am.
Well, so. We could have like a pinata with the numbers.
Oh, God.
Okay, so today we've got new music from Carly Pearce that you tweeted me, or not tweeted me, you texted me at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if it was wine or what. You're like, we've got to talk about this song.
I don't know if it was really 3 o'clock in the morning. I think that is a giant exaggeration. But there was definitely some wine involved. I'm not going to lie. And I think it was probably like a good 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I was sitting there on my kitchen counter drinking, listening to music. And I think it popped up on somebody's Instagram. And then I was like, wait a second. Let me hear all of this. And then let me play it on repeat.
Yeah. So I knew I was asleep when you sent the text message. I'll just say that. So yeah, we'll get into Carly Pearce's new song. It's called Next Girl. And then because I believe in balance, we're going to play Michael Ray's new single, too. It's called Whiskey and Rain. And
I feel like you're going to go hell for that one.
What?
I mean, really? You got to play him, too?
Well, I mean, we don't know what happened.
Well, I'm going to say if you listen to the song, you just may know.
Well, maybe we'll listen to Michael Ray's and find out his side of the story because it's only fair, right?
Okay, whatever. Okay, I guess so equal time, whatever.
So speak, I guess there's going to be a lot of the country love because also I read into the Thomas Rhett and like why they went to therapy, he and Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was like kind of, I was like, wow, I could totally see where that, like, I'm surprised it didn't end. Like,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it was way juicier than I thought. They kept whatever the juice was secret, kind of.
Oh,
they made
okay.
You have to dig into the interview because they want you to read the book.
Okay. And well, yeah, I'm interested to see because, well, let's be honest, I don't read. So,
I was going to say, I need you to read Lauren's book because I would feel weird reading a woman's memoir.
Okay, maybe if it's on Audible, then I'll do it.
So that made me think about superficial relationships. And ever since The Social Dilemma, I've been stuck in this like sort of virtual world versus the real world type thing. And so that took me into this dark hole about screen time. And my screen time has bothered me lately. So I started talking about it on Facebook. So I figured we would kind of go over that because I wanted to know what your screen time was to know if I'm ridiculous or if you're more ridiculous than me.
Oh, God. Well, keep in mind, again, I don't have a job. So my screen time may be exponentially like way bigger and longer than yours. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
So and then
that
I was
sounded also very dirty just now.
A little bit.
What is wrong with me?
But it did make me. And also I was going to talk about, I've been in love with this girl since the first time I saw her, and it's not Lauren Elena.
Is this where are we starting here? Or
do you want to start here? Because I was actually going to go back to screen time and then come back to it, but we can start here.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the girl that, like, let's tease.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Okay,
we'll start there. We'll start Nick's love life, right? Because I'm probably going to get the most real I've ever got talking about this because, quite frankly, in my entire time, I met this girl, VB is how I'm going to refer to her, by the way.
Okay.
She said to come up with a cute, sexy nickname. And I was like, well, I've got VB. Like, your name is already pretty hot. Like, I don't know if it can change it. So we'll just go with VB. Anyways, I met V like not even six months after I moved here. And I always felt like it was like love at first sight. And I'm not going to say I haven't said that before in my life. However,
I think you said that last podcast about Lauren Elena.
Yes, but I would define the difference here being interested. Like I know, and you can look at someone and know if you're interested in them. Oh. That doesn't mean that you want to date or marry them.
Right.
Right. And so V has always kind of helped. Like I would just say that in my imagination as a kid, I pictured who I wanted to marry. Right. I had this image of who it was. And we'd been in a red Corvette was also the other part of it, but that's beside the point.
It's very specific,
But she, when I saw her, I felt like that was my imagination in real life. Like I was like, this is who I've
like
imagined my whole
your
life.
Your dream came a reality.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, very much so. And then as I got to know her and talk to her, it started only getting deeper. And now every time she reaches out to me, I'm like a child, literally like this childish, like innocent love. In love, romance, like all the perfect words come out. Everything I say, like in the way I was kind of breaking down, is like sometimes I'm hesitant to give a girl a really great compliment because in my mind, I know I'm adding to the compliment a little extra just to make her happy because I know she'll love it, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that feels inauthentic, even though it's real. But with her, I have no... total disregard for whether it feels or sounds inauthentic.
Yeah, no. Well, I was going to say, in the past, you've told me some stories of things that you've said to her, and I was like, God damn, like, you just laid it all out there.
Well,
where
yeah.
I would never, I don't know, I would have to be in a relationship to go that deep or expose myself that much where you just laid it all out there and you're like, I don't care if you even reciprocate anything, but well, I'm going to tell you.
But because she usually would reciprocate it for a short period of time and then she would kind of ghost me a little bit. But the more I've thought about it, I don't know if she was ghosting me as much as I was giving up. Sometimes there, because I mean, I don't remember all of the exact instances, but, and then mm-hmm. also we've probably hung out 5 or 6 times, gone on a couple dates, but there's this magic always happens. So anyways, the whole point is that after 6 years, she recently hit me up again and we've kind of had this sort of like off again, on again, chatting for a little while, reignite the magic, and then it kind of dissipates.
And
right?
Keep in mind, like, let's preface it with you never have been intimate. Like,
yes.
With her. Like
slight intimacy, but an intimacy that wasn't sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
There hasn't been any consummation of any relationships,
which,
you know.
Which to me empowers the belief that I have even more, right? Like, how do I feel like this? And I don't, you know, I mean, like, I don't even know what's happening.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Could it, and I'm going to say, could it be possibly just incredible infatuation?
No.
You don't think so?
No, because I purposely did something this last time around to kind of tested the universe. And,
okay.
And I feel like I feel like as long as I'm honest, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Right? As long as I'm authentic and I'm myself, and I've always been a super hopeless romantic, right? Like, it's just the reality of the real true Nick. Like, mm-hmm. I like to write love poems. I like to send flowers and buy gifts. Like, I'm a very, very deep, loving person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got confused in my early 20s with it.
Yeah.
And it was an impulse thing, maybe when I'd been drinking. It wasn't truly based on longevity and getting to know someone, right? So I feel like I kind of turned myself in a weird way where I kind of didn't understand how to build a relationship, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like in this friendship with her, I have kind of built a relationship with over 6 years, even though it's kind of come and gone, but I've always been true and honest and I felt that way. So I started feeling like I better not express this because she's just going to leave me again. She's just going to stop texting me and then there I am again. Golly, I fell mm-hmm. for it again, right?
Right.
Well, I walked away from it saying I'm not going to message her or talk to her at all and we weren't following each other on Instagram and I told myself, Nick, you're letting go completely. I had actually forgotten about her until recently when I was driving through part of her neighborhood and I looked over and I was like, oh man, I thought about her. All right, let me see if I can telepathically make her talk to me, right?
Yeah.
And sure as shit, she texted me like 2 days later.
Huh.
And now we've been texting for 2 days and I haven't given up on the texting her. And so, she, I don't know.
So, I mean, where is it stand right now?
Well, she asked me what my schedule is.
Okay.
And I kind of asked her about her schedule. And so we're working on, you know, meeting up for lunch or dinner or hanging out. Like, I'm just going to keep inviting her to do stuff. Like, today I invite her to come play golf with me.
So I guess my next question is, so obviously she reached out. There's this talk of maybe getting together. What are you going to do if she just, again, stops responding?
Well, I mean, I'll be back in the same situation, you know? I hope I'm not making an excuse here, but I feel like that's part of the reason. You know, once you feel a certain way about somebody, then when you go to another relationship and it doesn't quite feel, you don't feel the same way you felt with this person
mm-hmm.
that you felt with that person. And then you finally get a taste of being with that person. And you're like, oh man, I really like that. Cause there was nothing ever that was bad about her and my interaction. You know, it was just this sort
of
ghost
type
thing.
It's not that there's anything bad about the interaction, but you don't have, nothing's been established for a decent period of time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that you've known her for 6 years, it's these little glimpses of what you would want or
what we could have or what it could be like.
But it's nothing has ever, nothing's ever been really established. So I also think it's not fair for you to ever compare a relationship, an actual relationship that you might get in and compare it to her.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. And that's why I try, I try not to, but
let's be honest. Okay. She's a dream. The other's reality.
But also, I believe that I can attain my dreams.
Well, and you know, and maybe you can.
And also, I guess that my thought is that if I go into it honestly and I go into it real, then sure, it might hurt, but it won't be this like traumatic pain I can't overcome.
So at what point do you give up on her completely and be like, all right, I'll either just be your friend or I'm never speaking to you ever again?
It's funny you said that because I actually thought, honestly, if it doesn't work, then I'll just be single the rest of my life.
Oh, my God.
I know that sounds crazy, but I would be okay with it. Like, and I don't know if this is normal or not. Maybe it's weird or crazy, but I'm just being completely real. Like, anything other than her is second best in my world, and that's just the way it's going to be. I really believe that.
That is terrible, because at the same time, you've been building her up in your head.
But I'm not.
Yes, but you are, because again, you're only getting glimpses of little things. Say you hang out with her for a significant amount of time, and I'm not trying to bash her. So if she ever hears this, I'm not saying I'm not on your team, girl. I'm just saying.
I don't really know her, you're saying.
What if that girl, like if you were to hang out with her for a good month, 2 months on end, and you're like, God damn, this girl is a bitch.
But
or
what if she...
she's like mean to the waiter or
well,
she's...
Well, then I would walk away.
Yeah, but then you meet some other girl. Now, is immediately she's second best because you've built this girl
no,
up in your
no,
head?
No, because the reality changes at that point.
Okay.
As of right now, the reality is I really want to dive in here. And I've been dying to dive in here because like I love the way I feel about myself when I'm with her.
Okay.
Like, and that's the other real beautiful, intricate part about it.
Is it also, I'm getting all psychological on your ass. Is it also because she is a goal? Right? She is something you, like I said, have built up in your head, or that figure of what you want. So it's this, if you were to get her, you feel like you have made it. Like you have attained your goal.
I understand what you're saying. And I can say from a mature point right now that the goal is to find someone to spend my life with.
Okay.
That is the goal.
But according to you, 2 minutes ago, you said anything other than her is going to be second best.
That's how it feels. Yes, that is the way it feels.
But you know that's not right.
Yes, okay. I'm very well aware. Okay. And that's why I believe it's so unfair. Like when I'm in the dating world, I know it's unfair. And that's mm-hmm. why I haven't been able to make an established relationship. You know, and the truth is, VB, I know you'll probably listen. You know, she's never actually said, hey, I do see a future other than constantly being there in my future. Which to me, I've said this more than once to her of how I feel about her. Hell, I've told her 4 times in the last 2 days I want to marry her. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And
you know what?
If
some guy said that to me and I wasn't feeling it, I don't know. I would probably, I don't know if I'd talk to him anymore.
Yeah, if there's a guy pouring his heart out to you, do you keep talking to him? Or do you say, hey, look, I'm never going to, wouldn't you have to be honest and just say I'm never, because like if she said, look, Nick, I really love you, but I'm never going to be with you. If mm-hmm. she said that and she told me that, then I would move on. Like no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not, when I say I think about her the way I do, it's because I believe in what I felt. It's not because necessarily it's a goal. It's her. It's, you know, like I understand why it could easily be seen that way. And mm-hmm. I understand the dating pool and the dating dynamic. She's also close to my age. She also grew up in a small town like I did. She's got small town roots. Like there's a lot of things about our personalities that I've gathered over 6 years that I really like. Okay. And that remind me a lot of myself. And these really, almost really strange things. Like I said, there was the last time we hung out, I had tweeted something like an inspirational quote or to some degree about forgiveness, I think.
Yeah.
And when we hung out, the fortune she got and had saved had basically the same message. And it was like stunning, you know, and sure you could say, oh, it's just coincidence. But anyway, all that to say that I believe that every time I've seen these little signs and so if she was like, Nick, move on. Like, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'll never be able to marry you, whatever it is. Like, but I would still be cool with her. I'd still be her friend, but I could cut that belief because she's never said no.
Okay.
She's never said no, Nick. Mm-hmm. It's not real what we feel. She's never said that.
Yeah.
She said she feels it too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyways, we'll update on episode 31 what happens.
Yeah. If she's speaking to you still or not.
Yeah, exactly. will the ghost return?
Coming up next on Country Not Country.
Okay, remember that one guy I was engaged to? We went to therapy one time and He wanted a dude because he thought dude therapists were better. I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. So I found a guy that was a relationship, you know, a couples therapist, and he shows up to our counseling session, wasted, number one, with a roadie, and he was drinking straight vodka.
Wow.
Yeah. And at one point, he had drank so much vodka that he decided, oh, it's time for me to go to the bathroom. So what does he do? He leaves. The door isn't quite shut. The therapist looks at me and says, can he hear me? And I said, no, he's in the bathroom. He goes, Aaron, I think you two are both very different. And I was like, Basically, he was telling me, get the fuck out of that relationship and don't look back.
Okay, so let's go into Thomas Rhett and Lauren, right?
Yeah.
So they talked about how they went to couples therapy, which I've never been to therapy, but the older I get, the more I hear people talk about it, the more I think I should do it.
Hello, I'm like a walking billboard for it. I go all the time.
So
I'm just really disappointed that my health insurance is about to expire, but yeah.
So what do you look up? A therapist?
Well, for me, I looked up, through our healthcare website, I looked up therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist. Psychiatrist, those are the ones that give you the meds. However, most of the time, they don't want to really sit and talk about your problems. They'll talk to you about your problems for maybe, 45 minutes the first time. And they're like, all right, you need this drug, and this drug. Bye. And then the next time you talk to them, it's only for 15 minutes. So usually the person you go to is either a psychologist or a therapist that you see like on a weekly, biweekly basis.
All right. So I guess I would be more into the psychologist or therapist if I was looking for that. But I really administer self-therapy quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you do. And yes, I agree because I do the same thing to myself. Yeah.
So Thomas Rhett talked about, so basically, Lauren released her memoir. And I was saying you should read it because you're a woman and I would feel weird reading her memoir. Like, you know what I mean? It's like reading a girl's journal, right? Like, I don't know if that would be, I don't know if I would enjoy it, And like, anyways,
yeah.
But part of me for research purposes did want to read it, but apparently she brings up why they went to couples counseling. And so Thomas Rhett shared the story that she alluded to, and it's just a couple sentences, but he says, Lauren called me because it was 9 o'clock in the morning in Uganda. And she hears all of her friends in the background. Meanwhile, Lauren is 7 months pregnant and throwing up in the bathroom in Uganda. That was when Lauren was like, we are living two completely separate lives right now. And he says, that was a really humbling experience for me, just knowing what she was dealing with in a sense of aloneness while I'm out living life as usual. That part was really hard for us for sure, kind of getting over that and going through some therapy, especially over that one night.
Okay.
So I was thinking that's got to be a really ugly place where she's feeling sick, reaches out to her husband for comfort, and she hears her friends in the background giggling and having a good time.
Yeah, I would not be happy.
How would you come back from that, Aaron?
We need
therapy.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely have to have the conversation. Are we on the same page? Like, are you? Because I'm assuming she was in Uganda with that whole process of their first daughter, Willa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
So she was pregnant, going through the adoption process. Remember, she didn't realize. I don't know that they were intending to have two babies
at the same. Yeah, because I think they were already adopting her, and then they found out they were pregnant.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So. Yeah, I think for me, it would be like, are you wanting this? Or are you wanting to be Mr. Party Animal? I mean, but also they are way younger. I mean, they're not even 30.
Well, they've been together. They've been friends since sixth grade. So Thomas Rhett's 30 and Lauren is 30.
Okay. I feel like they just turned 30.
And that did change it for me because I realized that I'm pushing 40 now. And I think about being 30 and either of their shoes, and holy smokes.
Yeah, they had three kids before they were 30.
They're 30 now. Oh, you're right. During that time, they were probably 26 or 27. Yeah. I would have been a train wreck.
Yeah.
I would have been the last person.
26 or 27. Okay, at 27, 28, I was getting a divorce. And at that time, I thought I was a giant leper. You know what I mean? Because who do you know that's 28 and divorced? That was like a big struggle.
But you got married super early.
Yeah, I got married at 24.
But, oh, I thought it was 21. Never mind.
No, we got together when I was 20. So we had been together a total of 8 years. But I mean, yeah, imagine. I mean, like, that's a big life change. And now they've got that giant life change. But at the same time, you're still young and inexperienced.
Vibrant.
You know what I mean? Like, for me, my entire 20s were soaked up being married and being mature and a homeowner.
There's no
way. For them, now their 20s are soaked up with being, well, kids with kids, essentially.
Or celebrities, and add celebrity to that. Like, yeah. Thomas Rhett was a huge rising star over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Having to tour and travel, and Lord knows what happens on the road. And
whoo, Lordy. I mean,
like, I'll just say that at 26, I don't know that I would have had the discipline to be a loyal man on the road as a star. Like, I would have, there's no way.
You're not the first person that has said that, and that I've had several guys, they're like, man, it's a good thing I'm not famous, because I would have done everything.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know,
that's like rappers, you know, like no one does it like rappers, apparently. But I would imagine that the country stars also, like, it doesn't, what I've learned, because I've worked in three different formats in my life, or four, if you want to count even politics, because believe it or not, even in the political circles, there are groupies to the politicians. There's groupies to
yes, that's why there was Monica Lewinsky.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's always a groupie. There's always that's always happening. It doesn't matter what the celebrity is. And even in country music, even though we don't want to believe that, because country music has a pure core, you know, it has a values system that, you know, it seems to be, you know, relevant even to this day. But let's be real, there's still some hanky panky. Like,
and we hear some of the stories and we're like, what?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, they're not confirmed stories. Cause I've never heard a story from the mouth of the source. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've always heard the second or third hand stories, which that goes for anywhere where there's always some sort of chatter going on about who's doing what or who, you know, the closer you are to the ground, the more you see and hear, though. That's for sure.
What else did it say about their, like, therapy sessions?
That was all the information they gave, was that. So my thought is there was a lot of that. Not a lot of that, but there was enough of that, because there's no way this one instance was the reason that they decided to go to therapy. It had to be that happened either more than once. Like they said, we're living two completely different lives.
And maturity level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, she has no choice. She can't be giggling and laughing.
I will always say, therapy is amazing, but it's work, you know, and you have to, A, be willing to be honest with yourself. And if it's a partner, you have to be honest with your partner.
And not judge each other for it.
Yeah. But I know for me, like, there's people I think should go to therapy, and they may never go to therapy because they don't think there's anything wrong with themselves, or they don't ever look inward, where I look inward every day of my life. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? So I'm always trying to fix myself.
I think a lot of people also sometimes are scared to look inward. That becomes a problem. Like, people, like, whenever I can speak for that, like, if you start looking inward into why you do certain things, or why you're a certain way, or a habit you can't break, you know, those can really wear on somebody, you know? And so having the outlet with therapy, sometimes people might be scared because they don't know what the therapist is going to tell them. They might tell them their worst reality. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Like, I have a girlfriend. Oh golly. I feel like she and her husband need to go to therapy ASAP, and they probably should have done it 5 years ago. But she won't, and it's her that doesn't want to go. And I think it's her not wanting to go because she's afraid. I think that it'll look bad on her. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, the therapist will say, oh, well, you need to change this, this, and this. And then but I don't think she wants to accept the responsibility.
Yeah,
which sounds terrible.
Well, I think that probably happens a lot, you know, and that's why a lot of people don't go to therapy. Mm-hmm. But a therapy could save a relationship. It could, and also I think that
it didn't save any of my relationships.
True, but it seems to have helped theirs.
Yes,
you know, but also I think that there's probably many relationships where something happens and even therapy can't help it.
Yeah, well, I mean. Okay, remember that one guy I was engaged to? We went to therapy one time, and he wanted a dude because he thought dude therapists were better. I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. So I found a guy that was a relationship, you know, a couples therapist, and he shows up to our counseling session wasted, number one, with a roadie and he was drinking straight vodka.
Wow.
Yeah. And at one point, he had drank so much vodka that he decided, oh, it's time for me to go to the bathroom. So what does he do? He leaves. The door isn't quite shut. The therapist looks at me and says, can he hear me? And I said, no, he's in the bathroom. He goes, Aaron, I think you two are both very different. And I was like, basically, he was telling me, get the fuck out of that relationship and don't look back. But yeah.
Well, you know.
So I guess, you know what? In that case, therapy also did work.
Yeah, it did. It saved you. It saved you. Now, I think for some people, therapy is writing music. Mm-hmm. And Carly Pearce has clearly used a lot of music in her career as therapy. You know, if you listen to her music, she clearly wears her heart on her sleeve and lets it out.
Oh, yeah. I would say a lot of female artists. I mean, maybe.
All artists, really.
Yeah, but a lot of, like, who do I think of? Carly, for sure.
Maren Morris.
Maren Morris. I think Miranda. Taylor Swift, hello. I mean, every guy that she's ever dated has been the subject of a song, which is awesome. And I've always thought, oh, I wish I could do that. But I do it in a blog form. But yeah, like her new song, Carly's new song, I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Well, it's called Next Girl.
Hey, next girl, you don't know me. I'm just the one he says went crazy on him. That's just what he does. But once upon a time, I was the next girl. I've been where you're at. You overlook a lot when he looks like that. He'll charm your mama with that smile. Hide the red flags for a little while. I bet you probably met him at a bar. Let him walk you to your car. I bet he said he never falls this hard. Yeah, I remember that part. He knows how to say all the right things. Knows how to get you out of that dress. Knows how to make you think you're the best thing. But I know what happens next, girl.
Ah, yeah. I could listen to that song all day.
You like it that much, huh?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a, it just is every part in that song when she was singing, I was like, yes, yes, yes. I feel like I've lived all of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of it that I think you could easily say, it sounds like whatever happened in her and Michael Ray's relationship, he's going to blame her. I'm going crazy. And like, you know, or she's acting out of line, but something she's definitely had ground to stand on. Hey, this is, clearly,
well,
you're doing what you always
like,
do. Or
every, okay, girls, let me just tell you something. Anytime a guy says his ex is crazy, he's full of it.
Well, generally, remember, everyone projects. Whatever somebody says is the reason, or if when they describe people, they're describing themselves generally.
Okay, yeah. So, well, you're a dude, so you don't hear this, but so many guys I've gone on dates with, dated, whatever, met, they're like, oh, my ex, oh, God, she's so crazy. And I'm thinking, was she crazy or did you make her that way? Because usually I've been crazy at times and I've done some stupid stuff or acted out of my normal character because someone drove me to that point where I thought I was losing my mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just remember that. Anytime you date a guy and he says, oh, my ex is crazy, he's full of shit.
Now, sometimes, though, you can't.
I understand what you're saying. There are a lot of girls that are also straight up bat, you know, but.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I always steer away from the blanket statements that, you know, every time a guy says she's crazy, because sometimes, and you would, and basically you find, if I would say that if a guy ever says that or a girl ever says, oh, my ex was so crazy, right? Either mm-hmm. way, then from that point forward, you now have to measure their behavior against that statement because mm-hmm. they inserted that somebody is crazy
right.
in that relationship. Whether they're lying or telling the truth, if they're lying, then they were the crazy one. If they're telling the truth, then the other one was the crazy one. But you will find out in due time.
Yeah.
You will find out in due time.
I mean, I think of a past relationship where I felt like I was going crazy because, well, A, I was getting gaslighted like a mofo, but if I were to say about that person, do I think they're crazy? Yes, I do think they're crazy, but I hope that doesn't make me that, you know, how we're doing like the reverse, like I'm deflecting on them whatever. But yeah, I just hope that's
not the case. No, no. Well, here's the deal.
But you also know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so.
But also there, when you project, it's because you too know what it's like to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you are that way. It's that I can say, oh, they're acting crazy. Why? Well, because I've acted crazy and I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've done some stupid, stupid stuff before in a relationship. Like, Nick, what the hell were you thinking?
Oh.
Why did you do that? You were crazy. Right. But at the same time, I've been on the other side where a girl was doing stuff. I was like, this girl is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so it happens both ways. And so out of fairness to Michael Ray and to the men, because I have to represent for the men, released a new single also. And this one's called Whiskey and Rain. Have you heard it yet, Aaron?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, I will say that Michael Ray, I think, does a good job of showcasing his voice, but his voice always does seem to sound different on each song to me. Like he kind of has a different delivery with his music.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I feel the same way. Cause I was thinking of what is like the first song that came out of his, Kiss You in the Morning.
Kiss You in the Morning was one of them.
Kiss You in the Morning. His voice sounds completely different than it did on, some of the last songs. And I don't know if it was because he had vocal coaching or if it's just...
Well, I will say I've seen him perform 2 or 3 times now. And mm-hmm. the last time I saw him was in Kima, I believe was the last performance I saw of his. And I thought he has really advanced as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
He's really embraced his image and look and sound, and he's very confident on stage. And of all the performers, I put him up there, like he's been around a while, but he's still one of the younger performers in country music. He's still one of the younger guys. See, he's more than likely, I think he's still opening some shows, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or one of the opening acts. So here, save the thought. We'll come back to Whiskey and Rain.
It's been a downpour beating on the tin roof. It's been Black Label pouring on ice. Made a honky-tonk out of this living room. Yeah, swimming through her goodbye. Misery, love's company. Yeah, whiskey and rain coming down, coming down. Splash of bourbon in the glass.
Just Whiskey and Rain.
It sounds very, very like traditional country.
Oh yeah, they were saying that he really reeled in the '90s sound in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it reminded me of almost like a Gary Allen crossed with a like sort of a John Anderson Straight Tequila Nights
wine. Oh, there is something it reminds me of. I just can't pinpoint it, but it definitely has that '90s country flair to it.
Now, I didn't do the research to see if he wrote it or not, but I imagine that there was a co-writer on the song. But I do know that artists usually pick songs that they feel like they identify with. And I think he was being, if we're going to say that Carly Pearce was referencing anything into the relationship with Next Girl, then it would only be fair to also say that Michael Ray is likely somewhat telling his side through his music and performance on the other side.
Well, I definitely feel like hers is more autobiographical than his is.
Yeah, well, his is interpretive.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe his next single after this one will really be the...
Needless to say, which one do you like better?
Oh, 100% Carly Pearce, hands down.
I mean, I like the Carly Pearce song too. I really do. I like Michael Ray's song. Honestly, I thought when I actually have listened to it once or twice before when he first released it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like he always does surprise me. And mm-hmm. I say that out of respect because I never, like I said, to me, he always sounds different. Every song sounds different.
Yeah.
And so I never know what's coming. I was like, all right, I dig it. I get
mm-hmm.
it. And I think I love about both of them that they both went on and made music. They didn't make it a super dramatic thing. They didn't air dirty laundry. You know, they let their music speak for itself.
No. I mean,
because there's nothing about Michael Ray's image that Carly was surprising people with, that he is a handsome dude that women like, and he gets a little crazy. Like, that's not, like, there's nothing, that's not a newsflash. I feel like anyone who has spent more than 5 minutes around Michael Ray knows he likes to have a good time, you know, and women, if you've talked to women who see him, they always talk about how good he looks. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it was a complete, there's no way anyone could be completely blindsided by a good-looking country star who's been single most of his career.
Yes.
We all want to believe that the love is going to happen the way we think it's going to happen or supposed to happen. And then it starts to kind of happen. And then we're like, oh, it's here.
It's always like, what did I say? I feel like I said this in a podcast or two ago, when it's the shiny object. Leave the shiny object alone. Like, it's not going to turn out well.
Unless that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then if that's what you're looking for, then enjoy that shiny object, but just know it belongs to something else.
Yeah. It probably is not going to stay true to you.
So we'll leave this on a quote that I really liked from this motivational YouTube thing I watched. It says, when you change your perception, you change your life.
Wait, we didn't talk about screen time.
We didn't talk about screen time. So what was your screen time on your phone?
Apparently, my daily average is 4 hours and 1 minute.
Okay, I'm more than you. 4 hours and 42 minutes.
Yeah, and it, like, before it updated, it said 3 hours and something. So yeah,
that means you're doing that means it's up a little bit, but also you're doing way better than a lot of people. I had someone on my thread said 10 hours.
10 hours.
And the average American spends 8 hours.
Okay, this is what people need to do. Get a hobby, all right?
Well, start a podcast.
Yes, which, by the way, little shameless plug, I started my own podcast, and I've submitted it to Apple and Spotify and Pandora and all these other places, and so you can start listening to that. It's basically my blog.
What's it called?
It's Aaron Austin's Thursday Blog and Podcast.
All right, well, I'll put a link to it in the body, so if someone wants to click to it, they can find it and click it through there.
So far, we only have 3 episodes, but, you know, I'll just get to record more.
You're building.
That's right, damn it.
All right, episode 30, that's a wrap.
Never miss an episode of Country Not Country with Aaron Austin and Nick Russo. Make sure to download the Radio.com app and subscribe to this podcast. Country Not Country, a Radio.com podcast. Special thanks to executive producers Sarah Fraser and Chase Murphy.